שלום צופים יקרים, אנחנו בפרק.
Hello everyone, and welcome to our show, The Solution. With us is Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello. And to continue what we started on our previous show, we started talking about a certain flowchart algorithm that rationally deals both with the diagnosis of the problem and its solution. So we'll do a short review, and then we'll take it to the next stage. So if we can see slide number one. Slide number two. Here we went over, first of all, saying that economical problems are not solved, social injustice is only growing, people feel unsatisfied. All these things are moving away from us. And also, this profession called an economist is anachronistic. It was invented 80 years ago, more or less, and it didn't change much. And the way the tools that it is coming to correct the situation, fix the situation with, is out of date. And everything changed. Society changed, economy changed, the generation changed, but the profession stays as is. And economists look at economy like through an MRI, through very clear cuts, competition of one way or another and so on, and less looking at the human behavior aspect. How do we behave toward each other? How do we see each other? And because their models oversee this element, then it's lacking. This is what we talked about up until now, and if there are any questions or something that I can add, that the question is, how do we adjust everything to modern life? That's the question. Right, modern life and modern people. So maybe we can continue and see if we can go to slide number three. And the first stage is, first of all, there are problems and there are symptoms, and we have to tell the two apart. But still, the source for all of this is the crisis that lays in the way that we treat each other and the gap between how we're supposed to relate to each other according to the global and integral world and the current situation, and therefore the nature of man and the relationships between us is what we actually have to pay attention to. Still, we see that our behavior, the way we treat each other, and what's happening with us, these things don't really go together. On the one hand, we want to live like in a family, in mutual support, in a state where everyone's well off, we, the children, that we feel that we have a sense of security, on the one hand. On the other hand, we see that despite this, we build our life in a very rigid and hostile way toward each other. And from year to year, the more we as if become, as if the smarter we become, and with so much power in our hands and equipment and everything, we're not succeeding in building a human society in a way that we will be well off, that we'll be safe, that we won't simply go from blow to blow. And lately, these blows, they are coming in biological forms. It's really threatening and frightening. Because it's not that, you know, there's just some virus and everyone has the flu or something. But these are things that are beyond the ordinary, beyond what we're familiar with. And we especially see that the coronavirus is global. There was never something like that before, all around the world. In a few months, it appears everywhere, encompasses the entire planet, and it is unknown altogether whether it's leaving us. Maybe we can also add that even though that the world is global and integral, in the form of this blow, it's kind of hard to understand the relation between the ties between us and the way they, let's call it, contaminate or litter nature and the result. You know, in a system, usually there is something that you do and you immediately see the result, but there are systems that are so complicated where it's harder to understand the outcome, the feedback, in this case, coming from nature, and maybe it's not enough for people to get the message. All true. And therefore, this is our problem. Then, by what tools can we address all these things? If so, I want to continue with the algorithm, and we actually come and say that if the problem is the gap, if we can see the next slide, if the problem is the gap between our relations, the way they are today, and the way they're supposed to be according to the laws of nature, then if we can bridge the gap between what we have and what we want, or what we have to come to according to the laws of nature by correctly building our relationships, then this is the only solution for economy, society, and so on. I agree 100%. Okay. Now, building the relations between us. Many times we say that man doesn't have to change himself, but the only things that we have to change is our ties, the relations between us. But if we look a bit more deeply at our relationships, we see that this is a derivative of our human nature. Look, the difference is not that everyone wants, doesn't want, chooses, doesn't, changes it to change himself. No one has to do it. But when we're together, or for us together to decide and do, once we do that, by that we will achieve what we desire. Meaning, if there comes a global blow and we see that we're already living in a global world and we're interdependent with tourism and planes and industry and trade and the labor market and everything is done in a way that our entire planet, the entire world is like one society, one planned. So we have no choice. We have to arrange the correct relations between us. Otherwise, we'll destroy the infrastructure and as a result, we'll all suffer. The thing is, and Bala Sulami talks about the need to preserve the freedom of the individual, that everyone has wondrous qualities, that if we suppress this will really be, will harm us for generations. On the other hand, so how do we keep the balance between the freedom of the individual and the need to correct our relations? Only by entering a deep global social discussion about the form that we have to take on in our relations. We see that up until 100 years ago, we didn't even talk about humanity being internationally interconnected or anything afterwards. Nonetheless, UNESCO was established, the UN, other international organizations, and we'd like to arrange all of these things somehow, but they're all built on competition. This is the problem. And even though that there is some kind of order, and we see that for the past 70, 80 years, there wasn't any world war, but still, we're all the time living under threat. And if not a world war that we start with weapons, then lately nature is waging war on us. And we have a problem. that's no less severe. Nature, that hidden hand, is directing us in a certain direction. But again, it's hard to understand how can we talk about changing the relations between us without changing human nature. No, of course we'll have to change human nature. This undoubtedly has to happen. But we have to do it in a good and nice way, convenient way. You can't take a platoon and, you know, make them forcefully change things. We understand that here we're talking about relations between people that you can't force. People have to be convinced. They have to reach a state where they understand that, yeah, we're a part of one system. Let's reveal the system and see accordingly. How do we have to be interconnected as one integrally connected society, that we need each other, that we can't survive without one another. And these are things that we have to learn. And therefore, I'm happy to hear that there's already talk about a global basic income. That there's already the thought that large populations will have no livelihood. How are they going to do it? I don't know, but probably this is going to be the general concern of many countries. And I really hope that this concern, where they are concerned with their citizens, with the populations of their countries, that this will, that they'll be so engaged with it that they won't have the time or desire or power to be engaged in wars and disputes and so on. But the main thing is to arrange such kind of work in every country for them to have the ability to pay those people that are receiving this kind of basic income. And also, besides, that you have to bring these people to a new education. So they won't wander around all the time, but to make them like students, to really make them, turn them into a new society, that this society won't necessarily be made out of people that are like bums, that are, you know, simply walking around like those that are unemployed today, but that they will have to take exams and learn about different forms of connection, and eventually that they will be that infrastructure of Krim that the new society will be based on. The universal basic income and its different implications, there are many changes and many things about it. I don't want to get into this today. There are many problems with the economic model and goals. It's when people say the slogan, not everyone means the same. I think that the way the wisdom of Kabbalah sees it, it's completely different than what people in the world that are engaged in this, the way they see it. Right. Okay, so what I want to ask about is that there is the way things are and the way things should be, the way nature wants things to be. What does it mean that this is how it has to be according to the laws of nature? Because we're living in a system called nature, and because the system is full of laws, then when we divide nature into the levels of physics, chemistry, biology, zoology, all these different forms of science, we see that there are different laws and connections and ties there. Everything works according to formulas. It's not that it's something that we're inventing because this is how we'd like for it to be, like we invent things in the financial industry. But these are laws that exist within nature, within matter, on its different levels. And therefore, we have to learn what belongs to us. The problem is that on the levels of the still vegetative and animate, we learn, we can research this, and on the speaking level, we don't really know how to investigate nature, how to research it and see what is the integral law of nature, that all the levels in nature are interconnected, so much so that man too is a part of the system of nature, and he has to keep these laws. But what are the laws? We don't see them. We have to derive them from nature and see what is nature demanding from us. And then we'll reach a state where really we'll see that nature is global and integral. And in all this, we have to be in a correct interaction between us and the environment that we live in. So we're actually interconnected today as well, but the connection between us is a negative connection. We're not adjusted to the laws of nature. If we can see slide number 5, here actually I position two states, one opposite the other. The current state, which is red, like an alarm. We are in a zero-sum game where one benefits or gains at the expense of the other. Ever-growing crises, and from capitalism that more or less worked for 30 or 40 years for everyone's, we went to cannibalism. From capitalism to cannibalism, where countries and people are in distress, and many people are hopeless. This is how they feel. And the delta, the gap between that and the desired state, as Balasulam explains in the writings of The Last Generation, which is connection, interdependence, balanced economy that serves man instead of man serving it, that allows him the conditions to develop as an individual, as a family man, also spiritually eventually. Is this the reason for the crisis? Of course, we can talk about this a lot, but all in all, it's true that this is the reason for the crisis. This is the reason for all of the blows that humanity is getting from nature, whether these blows come through the financial, economic system, or through economy in general, or through the different social systems, or the coronavirus, or other things that are on the way. It all comes as a result of us being unbalanced with nature. And the problem is that we have reached imbalance with nature on a very high level, where society itself, all of it, is completely opposed to the system of nature. How long do you think can nature, the system of nature, bear this gap? Because it's only going and growing, and this process has been going on for dozens of years. On part of nature, there are several ways of negative behavior. Well, it's actually not negative, but it's like parents that want to teach their children how to finally behave correctly. It could be by a war breaking out between us, but I don't think that this way it will benefit us in any way. It doesn't teach us that we are integrally connected with one another, whereas the coronavirus has taught us a lot. It taught us that we are in an integral world, mutually integrally connected, interdependent, and that the connection between us is above countries, above the nations and everything. We're really interdependent, and this is the first blow. It's the first blow that we're getting now. And what will come next, I'm afraid to think, because nature has a lot, and we already see that in this direction, nature has many options of how to deal with us and arrange us. So I really hope that will grow wiser. In order to grow wiser, we also have to understand the meaning of things. And let's go to the next slide. Actually, what happens is that the traditional economists, decision makers, they're talking about plenty of crises, there are epidemics, security issues, economic issues, many kind of issues. And versus that comes your approach that says, no, there's only one problem or crisis. Right? The crises of in relations between people. And therefore, those people that are now leaving the labor market, we have to arrange them so that they will learn about the correct social system. Do you think that an average person has the ability to understand that all those symptoms that he identifies as crises, that these are all symptoms of the same problem, same crisis? I think that all of our symptoms are really one problem at their foundation, the relations between people, and were it not for that, we would have had an ideal life. I think that only through studying and explaining can we bring people to a state where they will see what does nature, the form that nature, the form of the relations between us that nature forces us to be in. Now, there are many approaches, there are many solutions. At any given moment, there are hundreds and thousands of different ideas and laws of how to correct this, and no. I don't think that this is in the right direction at all. We have to only explain to people. We have to sit all of humanity on the study bench and to explain to them, who are we actually? What kind of nature do we have? What is our part in nature? How do we have to get along and keep on living in this world, that without arranging this, we have no future? If so, then, like you're saying, incorrect, there's only one solution. There's only one crisis and one solution. Right? I remember hearing you say once that you sat with experts, and eventually you were fed up with talking because you repeated the same thing all the time. The round table of voices in Berlin. So how can we come out of this feeling that we're repeating and repeating ourselves the same thing all the time? And around us, there are professions and states and everything's changing. And we are very consistent about something that is not really clear to people, that is not obvious to people. I think that nature is preparing very convenient and good conditions for us. We now, whether we like it or not, have dozens and dozens of a very large, fast percent of the population are leaving the labor market now, will become unemployed, and they have to exist somehow. So we have to pay them some kind of basic income, and they all have to learn, they all have to study, and we have to arrange it on the national level, on the global level, for everyone to know what he needs in order to correctly exist in the world. That this is how we could protect ourselves from viruses, from crises, and arrange a good, nice life for us. It's going to be like a kind of scholarship that people will receive, like students. We have to understand that either we advance in a good and nice way toward integral connection, or in a bad and unpleasant way toward different kinds of blows, that nature is already standing in line. Right. So, exactly about this, we see that you're describing two states here. there is a green lane, a fast lane, from the current to the better situation in the conditions of the last generation that we'd be happy for all of humanity to take or advance through this lane. If we don't do it, then there's the hard way that it seems that this is the way that we're taking now, the lane that we're taking of crises and, well, I really don't want to take that path because to imagine the things that can come, we didn't even taste the path of suffering yet. It's really a path in which everyone suffers. It's not life, it's not death, and there come such viruses and torments and calamities and blows from nature, hunger, and you name it. I really hope that humanity will nonetheless listen and will start keeping the laws of nature more and more in relation to society, in terms of it becoming more and more connected, so that the leaders, the world leaders, will understand that we have no choice, and we have to be more connected. And not that everyone with their own tiny, stinky pride will jump up, and everyone will be like a small Führer. I really hope that humanity will understand this. Bala Sulam also describes a third state. He calls it the happy middle line between the fast lane and the path of suffering. The one scenario is the preferable one, but it doesn't really seem realistic nowadays. And the other one is really, what do we have to do? I imagine the happy middle line that we achieve this by teaching humanity how things are supposed to be, that we have to add to all of this an educational system, that through this system we show humanity what to do on the one hand, and on the other hand, everyone understands that it's really hard, that it's against our ego. So how do we teach ourselves, how is it possible or not, to take the right path? And then what we get is the middle line. Okay, if we can see the next slide, going back a bit. What we're talking about here, to continue with the rationale of the algorithm, the next stage says that until we have bridged the gap between what we have and what we want, then we're only dealing with the symptoms, different laws, reforms, budgets, it's all going to fail, all the different kinds of reforms. Well, not fail. Everything leaves an impression, and this way we'll advance too. What does it mean that it leaves an impression? That to some extent we're correcting something a bit here, a bit there, but this is on condition that we are taking a path where we teach the population of what we have to come to, and that we're making out of these unemployed an army that is willing, that is ready to somehow change the face of humanity. And suppose this doesn't happen, but governments and so on are trying to help people through different reforms. Does it still leave an impression, or better, sit and do nothing? First of all, get your basic needs and nothing beyond. Nothing beyond meaning what? Basic needs. Of course, that's the best thing. Were we able to simply give everyone their basic needs? And what about learning, studying? People, unless you give them a method that explains what's ahead, they simply go wild. It's more important for us to teach them, more than anything else, meaning the money that we're giving, it should be on condition that they study. Okay, as long as these things are not related, do we say that it's preferable to sit and do nothing? Yeah? Of course. What can we do? If now we'll have 20 or 30% of the population that will be unemployed, what are you going to do? You have to do something. You're endangering the country itself. So, of course, since there's no choice, it forces you to take these kinds of actions, that you have to give scholarships and explain about the method of correction. We have much more to scrutinize here. I'd like to continue with this algorithm, so we'll continue scrutinizing this and other issues on our next shows. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you. I'm really inspired by all of these schemes that you have prepared. It's very nice. Thank you very much. Thank you to our viewers, and see you. All the best.